Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz blow out the Denver Nuggets 124-87, and we are coming to you live on all sorts of different formats to get your thoughts and your comments as the Jazz take a 2-1 lead in the Western Conference first-round series over the Denver Nuggets. I'm David Locke. It's me and you, and it's all brought to you by the store. And it's a mudslide cookie victory, everybody. I got my mudslide cookie, and it is a mudslide cookie victory game today. Store located 600 South and 20th East, as well as located right here at the Gateway. The Jazz got out early in this one, dominated early, outscored the Nuggets defensively in the ballgame early, and then rolled on the other end of things on the offensive side of things with a nearly perfect second quarter offensively. Let me give you a few of my thoughts on this one, since there is going to be no Locked On Jazz tomorrow. Instead of just taking all of your comments, this is kind of the one time I'm going to comment on this game before Sunday's game number 4. So let me jump in and give you some thoughts on what I saw today, and then take your comments and your thoughts here on this edition of Postcast. First off, the defense early was just exceptional. They only allow 14 points. Mike Wells made an interesting idea that they don't have a lot of variation to what they're doing on our broadcast, and the guys really dug in to what they expected to see. Again, the injury to Gary Harris, the injury to Will Barton limit the Nuggets in their variety right now. And so you end up seeing the Jazz have seen Murray, seen Jokic come at them, and they got a little bit of a feel for it. Now, we haven't seen another close game to know whether they have that two-man game figured out yet, but the defense early was just terrific. Jokic, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. That's it in the first quarter. And Rudy Gobert ran the floor with a tenacity and an energy that I have rarely seen out of him. The Jazz have always wanted Rudy to run the floor, and he's run the floor beautifully in this series. And by him running the floor, it opens up so many other things for everybody else involved. So the Jazz, I thought, really got from Rudy, they got one of the great performances they've ever received. 12 points and 8 rebounds in that first quarter, 20 points and 11 rebounds by the half. That's as outstanding as I have ever seen Rudy Gobert. But it was the energy and the effort and the tenacity and the fight that he brought to the table that was as good as anything else you could see from Rudy. And to me, that actually probably has me as pleased as anything else from this ball game, is as hard as Rudy played. Mike Conley, he was obviously terrific. And you saw in the opening possession of the game, like, where Juwan Morgan used to be for a corner three was now Mike Conley, and that's a big difference. Mike Conley is one of the best shooters in the league. He was exceptionally good today, obviously hitting 7 of 8 from three. And the Jazz came out and just pounded them in the second quarter. The second quarter, at one point, the Jazz offensive efficiency was about 200. They had actually 2 points per possession at one point. Their effective field goal percentage was 91%, and they'd hit 4 free throws. So they pretty much were as good as you could be. They had a third quarter in game 2 that was perfection, and they had a second quarter offensively in this quarter that was perfection. In a sense, they have broken the Nuggets, and this is what I mean by it. It doesn't mean they've won the series. But when you see a team do something that they simply haven't done all year long, you've got them pretty good. And what I think is the most important aspect of that, and what you're seeing is the Jazz, that Nuggets started switching 1 through 5 defensively at one point. I quickly tweeted out to Adam Modis of Locked On Nuggets and Matt Moore of Locked On Nuggets and asked if they'd done this all year, and they said no. So when you suddenly see a team doing something defensively that they have not done all season long, that really means you've begun to have an impact on them and get them in a manner that's different than what you would anticipate otherwise. So I think that what you're seeing here, you've seen exceptional defensive effort early, amazing effort by Rudy Gobert. Mike Conley was exceptional at back. Joe Ingles with 8 assists. The Jazz offensive reads in this game to start were as good as I've ever seen them. Every single time they had confronted with something, they answered exactly what they wanted to get and how they were going to get it. It was exceptional basketball from the Jazz on that standpoint. And then the third quarter was really interesting to me. This will be my final thought before we go to your comments. The third quarter to me that really was the most interesting aspect was the fact that I thought Denver was playing really well, and I thought Denver was making inroads, and they were causing the Jazz some problems. And what ended up happening, but the Jazz stretched the lead even further. So to me, that really jumped out. It's like, wow, Now, big picture, it's, you know, it takes one good performance by Jokic or Murray to swing this series. I would say game four is the most important series. And this is not a comment about the Nuggets. This is a comment about the bubble. I really think that teams go up 3-1 series. There's nothing that gets that series going again. I think with the bubble, with the chance to go home, the chance to be done, not changing settings, not having a home court to pump you up. If you can get up 3-1 in a series, I think it's going to be very difficult to beat people 3 games in a row. So I think, for example, Philadelphia, whether they care or not, is playing for their lives against Boston right now. You know, I think that in the series they're 2-1, that game four is the series. So no matter who wins the Lakers-Dallas game tonight, that game four will be that series. That's how I kind of feel for us. It gets 2-2, you got a full throttle battle going all the way around. But I think that when you get this circumstance, you know, with the Jazz, if they can go get up 3-1, beat them 3 straight, I think that puts them in pretty good shape. All right, no questions about the Clippers allowed. And I'll get to your questions. Jeremy Tucker, hello, how are you? Daniel, glad to have you aboard. Let's get to the first comment of the day. It comes from Hayden. The Jazz are so brilliant defensively at the moment. Jamal Murray can't seek out a single Jazz starter to go after in isolation. Is it possible for the Jazz to ever defend at a high level with Bogdanovich on the floor? If not, how do the Jazz get out of his contract? Well, Hayden, of course, would like, wow, Hayden's pretty positive. I do think the first part is true. I'm not going to get into whether they need to get out of the Bogdanovich contract because they won a certain game in two matchups. You know, by the way, making personnel decisions based on playoff series end up getting you to sign Jerome James for big contracts like the New York Knicks did, or the Seattle Supersonics signing Calvin Booth to a big contract. You can make a lot of mistakes by deciding that because a player is good in one matchup or one matchup, your team is better without somebody, that you then make a decision. I don't think we're actually better without Boyan in this matchup. I think we happen to have won 2 games. A little fun coming from Joshua. The Jazz are better without Conley. Fight me. I got a bunch of people that got mad at me yesterday or the other day after the show because I was a little testy with those that thought Mike Conley would make us worse and wanted George Niang replaced. And my point was like, okay, you're going to bench George because he goes 2 of 10 instead of 4 of 10 shooting threes. And Mike Conley's like got a career history on him. I think those guys were pretty darn good today. So I would say that, you know, let's lighten up a little bit on that. Roderick says, what a statement win. I got you. Best center in the NBA. Yeah, the Denver Nuggets are going to wish they didn't ever send out that tweet that they did about this is what it looks like when you're looking up at the best center in the NBA. Rudy Gobert got the best of Nikola Jokic today. I'm not big into that personal matchup and the way everybody like wants to build it between those two. And to some extent, I don't think this was totally on Jokic. Like they had Jokic playing a style of defense and Rudy had an answer to it. So the Jazz got the best of the Nuggets. But the idea that Jokic has played Rudy off the floor this year is laughable and becoming different. Ryan Scott Lofthouse from coming to us from Facebook with a really good question. How do you see Denver adjusting? I don't know. I wish there was a show for Adam Modis and Matt Moore to put out because they know that team beautifully. And the Jazz have, I mean, I think they're going to go back to their game one defense. I think that the day Donovan had 57, that was probably their best defense. But to some extent, the Jazz have played Michael Porter Jr. out of this series. And so I think it's going to be super interesting to see what they do with Michael Porter Jr. Because when the Nuggets went to switching 1 through 5, they knew they couldn't play Michael Porter Jr. Because the Jazz are just going at him at such a rate. And so I don't know whether what they do, if they try to switch 1 through 5, then they're not playing Michael Porter Jr., playing Millsap and Grant, and they have very little spacing and shooting. And then Morris is another guy we would go at a little bit. In fairness to Denver, they really do miss Gary Harris and Will Barton in a unique manner. They play similar positions. To miss two guys in the same spot is a significant issue, and I think it's playing into being a very, very significant issue in this series. So, I mean, the other one, I was surprised. I thought when they played the double-team style against the Jazz in Game 2, they just did it so tepidly and with such lack of aggressiveness. I thought they'd come out and really trap much more aggressively and hard and try to impact the ball more than they did in Game 2, and they didn't really do that today. They came out and tried a little bit of everything, frankly. And as I go back and watch the first 10 or 12 or 14 possessions of the game, I think I'm going to see just perfect read after perfect read after perfect read after perfect read by the Jazz. I mean, they really were exceptional in their ability to read each play that was coming at them when it wasn't the same play every time. The Nuggets were altering a lot of what they threw them. They switched some, they doubled some, they trapped some, they brought the big up on some, they didn't switch on guard interchanges, then they did switch on guard interchange, and every time the Jazz just made the right play on it, and it made I really thought that they did an incredible job of that. Jason, listening to you guys calling the game synced the video of the broadcast is phenomenal. Thank you. Yeah, you can do it easily now because we're all in the same timing because of the feed coming across. So I appreciate those of you watching on TV and those of you listening to our radio broadcast as well. Hopefully we bring a little extra insight. I always feel like our radio broadcast has got a little bit going at it. Ryan said, coming from Periscope, says, is there a better coach in the playoffs than Quinn Snyder? You know what's interesting about this? And my answer would probably be no, but because I'm biased and there are other guys out there. You know what I think is really, really interesting on this is that Quinn has busted three defenses in playoffs. The only one is that he has not got so far is the switching 1-5. And I don't know what you – I mean, in some extent, he may be busted that too because he got us a win against the Rockets in that first series when Rudy Gobert – slipped all the picks in game number two and got that done. Otherwise, if you have a defensive or you have a weak player, Quinn nails it. I mean, Quinn has just mastered this we're going to see, but it feels as though he's kind of busted the Nuggets defense here too in the way they play. He busted Oklahoma City's defense, which is actually somewhat similar in how it plays, and we'll see. And I thought he kind of got the Clippers in that first playoff series. So, the times he hasn't is when Golden State switches 1-5, when Houston switches 1-5, and we just may not have the personnel to get that. If we can get to the second round, that'd be a monumental achievement to get to the second round for a third time in the last four seasons. That is just incredible. I just want to say I enjoyed tonight, and we can afford just to celebrate. You're right. Nice job. From Twitch, we go to Jeffers. Gobert was a monster day, top 10 player for sure. You know, his impact on games is, I don't know who you're dropping out of the top 10, but his impact on games is mammoth. And, the more we play marquee games and people see it, the more people are aware of it. Let's go to Douglas on Facebook. Great win. NBA needs to seed 1-16 if these top lottery picks keep going to the Western Conference. That is certainly true. Tyson from Facebook. Today's game was incredible. Active hands, hustle, fight, rebounds. The defense, the active hands defensively, and the defensive level that the Jazz put on it in the first quarter was just as good as you could possibly see. Let's go over to Instagram. From R. Packard, is Denver the type that can recover? I think so. I mean, this is the second-seeded team in the NBA last year, the third seeded team this year. Mike Malone's a good coach. Jokic and Murray are professionals. I don't see this being something that Denver rolls over at 2-1. Now, at 3-1, I think everyone is going to – it's just going to be too much to ask to beat teams three times in a row. So I do think game four is that important if they can do it. Do you think the series will be lopsided or will Denver turn things around? I think the game four is going to be a really big battle. I think it'll go down to the final few minutes. It'll be similar to the first five times we played them. And if we can find a way to eke out that win in a close game, that's the next step for us against the Nuggets. And if we can do that in game five, then guess what? Now, if we get up 15 early or 10 early, then you might see just a level of frustration that is too difficult for them to handle. Is it wrong to have a man crush on Jeremy Grant? I think a lot of people have a man crush on Jeremy Grant, and I'm not convinced whether the man crush has made him overvalued because everyone thinks he's undervalued. How's that for getting you confused? Wow, what a dominant first half from the reigning two-time player of the year from Instagram. Yes, I thought that was as dominating as Rudy could be. Let's be clear, Jokic is better than Gobert, but the Jazz have a better team chemistry and better passers, from Clay Harris. So Jokic is a better offensive player and more skilled than Gobert, but his defense is detrimental in this series. Whereas I don't think Rudy's offense is detrimental to the Jazz in this series. It's an interesting debate because they're such different players and you can each make your case. And they're probably, if you rank NBA players, they're probably right around the same, frankly. But if you think about it, Rudy is the best defensive player in the world, and his offensive impact is significant to the game. So it's not as though he is a offensive liability. Like he's getting the rim, he gets behind the rim, he keeps you flat, he does all sorts of things. He's the best pick setter in the league. So he's doing all sorts of things offensively that are impacting how the Jazz play. Well, offensively, Jokic is actually a vastly improved defensive player. But in this series particularly, he's having a hard time. When he's backpedaling on the pick and roll, it's a problem. And I don't see Gobert having that negative impact in any way on this series. So I'm not entirely sure that I buy that idea that as great as Jokic is offensively, and he's great. I mean, I think they're probably 10-11 in the NBA, right? Somewhere like that. Like, I mean, this is pretty close. They're both brilliant. But I'm not totally sure that I'm going to just walk on that one because I think defense is as important as offense. What time is the Jazz game on Tuesday? It's not been announced. Sunday we will play at 7 o'clock at night. Joe Ingles only had 2 points today. He only took like two or three shots. I'm not too worried about it, but I do get worried that he falls in the background and doesn't stay engaged when Conley plays. And so I think that's a very important concept for him is to make sure that he stays engaged and stays in this series the way he has in the other games. He's so vitally important to who we are. So I think that's a large part of the items that you have to deal with here. All right, let me continue on. We got a great audience on both sides. Thank you. Thank you very much. Questions still coming in. Jokic from Twitch. Jokic gets torched every dribble drive he does to defend. I don't think switching 1 through 5 would ever work. Actually, I'll be honest with you, if you look at the numbers on it, it doesn't show that. Jokic actually comes out as one of the better isolation defenders, and he played a pretty good play on the one-on-one against Donovan. The best is Rudy. Rudy's the best isolation defender in the league, so we switch 1 through 5, and you get Rudy on mismatch. You think you have something, and you probably don't. Comparing those plus-minus numbers, come on, that's 2 games in a row where he just got dominated. These are Jazz fans that are going to be upset about the idea that that those two teams are matching up. What do you see making the Western Conference Final? I think the Rockets. I think the Rockets beat the Lakers. I've said that the whole time. Spencer would love to listen to Locked On Nuggets to get their perspective, but doesn't seem to be updated. Well, I don't. It's a Friday, so they don't have to put out a new show, and I'm not sure they'd want to. Adam and Matt do incredible work, so if you get a chance, I would take a look at it. Let's go to YouTube. The Jazz have looked great. I have to expect Denver comes out with more motivation in Game 4. If the Jazz aren't hitting threes or Denver's able to take it away, how will the Jazz respond? I mean, this is probably the perfect spot to end the show. Like, Denver's going to come out with all the urgency in the world in game number 4. The Jazz have been shooting well. If the Jazz have a cold shooting night and this game gets – it's going to – then we got to tie 2-2 series, like, very quickly. So this thing is – even though the Jazz have outscored them in the last in the first three quarters of the last two games, 198-144, it's not over in any way, shape, or form. Now, the Jazz are playing brilliantly. The Nuggets haven't shown an answer. I got all those things. But I suspect we're going to see a totally different Denver team, and I think that there's a real chance, like Adam Morris and I could be doing a Locked On Jazz crossover on Monday about a 2-2 series. Like, this is a long way from over. But the Jazz have been brilliant the last two games. We'll see. Game Sunday. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you catching Postcast brought to you by the store. Stop by. Get your mudslide cookie. Get all your other stuff. Let's hope the Jazz blow them out the next two. We're certainly rooting for that. I just think that would be unexpected. Have a great one. See you.